Welcome to the Great Awakening Ministry. I am Minister and Yogini Joanne Lee, and on this week's show, back again, we have Noemi Bates. Noemi has been a dedicated practitioner of King Yoga for over 25 years, leading workshops and King Yoga experience events at the Aetherius Society Temple in London, as well as regular practice sessions with the Awakening through King Yoga International online community. She's a firm believer in the transformational power of mystic yoga, breathing, mantra, chanting, spiritual healing, prayer, and the practice of positive visualization and affirmation. In this show, we discuss how the nine freedoms guides us from limitation to liberation. In this episode two, we explore the next stages of the nine freedoms: enlightenment, cosmic consciousness, and ascension. Learn how understanding karma leads to spiritual awakening, how meditation and service open the path to higher consciousness, and how ascension brings freedom from rebirth. Discover the universal truth that transcends religion, offering practical steps forward towards higher awareness, inner peace, and lasting spiritual realization and freedom. Additionally, Noemi will share Dr. George King's first-hand experience of cosmic consciousness, a rare and highly elevated state attained by only a few. She will also guide us through a beautiful meditation on ascension drawn from the Six Freedoms.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Hi, Noemi.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning, and welcome back again to the.
Thank you very much.
And this episode two of the Nine Freedoms from Limitation to Liberation, I'm really looking forward to. I really am.
Me too, yes.
I mean, it's just going to be absolutely amazing. So, episode two is all about enlightenment, cosmic consciousness, and ascension. Wow.
Very big topic indeed. No pressure.
That's right. Wow. So yeah, thank you for being back on the Great Awakening Show. We just love, you know, all of your beautiful divine wisdom that you share with us, Noemi.
Well, thank you for inviting me back. It's a pleasure to be here and speaking with you and speaking about these very important topics, you know, enlightenment, cosmic consciousness, and ascension.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So let's get to it. And let's just recap a little bit on episode one, where we discussed the first three freedoms, bravery, love, and service. Can you tell us why they matter to us? And do they apply to everyone?
Yes, these first three freedoms are essential steps. They're vital steps that will prepare us for higher states of spiritual realization. And if we apply these first three freedoms, we'll be walking the path of service with courage and love towards enlightenment. The nine freedoms is really a spiritual roadmap of evolution, which is showing us the direction all of us meant to be traveling, and which is actually towards spiritual awakening and realization on this earth and even beyond this earth. Also, these freedoms are not tied to any one particular religion or belief system because they're universal. We can apply them in a very practical way. So if we start living the first three freedoms, bravery, love, and service, we'll start walking the path of service with courage and love, and will be treading the path to enlightenment.
Absolutely beautiful. And that they are so important in that order as well. Bravery, love, and service. Yes. And Dr. George King. So Dr. George King was the founder of the Aetherius Society. And through when he received the nine freedoms, they were channeled through him by Mars Sector 6. And He achieved incredible states, didn't he, by raising the Kundalini. Can you tell us more about this?
Yes, Dr. George King founded the Theatre Society in 1955, but before he did so, he was already a fully enlightened master because he achieved this very high spiritual status through diligent practice of yoga. After the Second World War, he practiced the higher forms of yoga in particular for 10 years, something like 9 hours a day. And through this disciplined practice, he consciously was able to raise Kundalini, this primeval force, which is lodged in the base of the spine, in full up through the spine, through each chakra or psychic center, and lodge it in a high chakra, like Christ Center, and enter Samadhi. And he's done it hundreds of times while he was alive. And in this elevated state, he could meditate on any object, experiencing beautiful, blissful states, and also gain amazing psychic abilities. And it was in this state that he received the 9 freedoms from a great master called Mars Sector 6. And using his extraordinary powers of concentration, he was able to detach completely from his own conscious mind and focus purely on the carrier beam, which was projected by this master, Mars Sector 6, allowing him to relay the message and teachings word for word. So this is an extremely elevated state of consciousness that only a few can enter. And Dr. King was unique in this. He used trance mediumship. So when the Kundalini is fully and consciously raised in a Christ center, one becomes a master. And in that elevated state, he was able to channel masters from this world and also beyond this earth.
Wow, that's just amazing. Because are we not all here to raise our Kundalini? It doesn't matter if you're an atheist, if you're a Christian, if you are whatever, you know, whatever, a Catholic, whatever you believe in, religion, we are all here to raise our Kundalini lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. We raise it through the different chakras and levels of consciousness within. Is that not so?
We are here on this earth. This earth is a wonderful classroom. We are going through many experiences, vital experiences. And that's why the 9 freedoms are so essential, because there are 9 major stepping stones, giving us wonderful guide on our spiritual journey of awakening, of realization. And they're also very empowering, these 9 freedoms, because we can always refer back to them when we're going through difficult situations in our life. And our wonderful guide is karma, which will help us to steer us to stay on the path of truth, of service, of love.
Yeah.
So it's our birthright, you know, to go through this wonderful experience. But it's entirely up to us. How long will it take, that journey?
Raising our vibration, raising the energy. It's so important, isn't it? And so let's go on to the freedoms, the fourth freedom, enlightenment. Light, let the light enter. Yeah.
Yes.
There is a lot of misunderstanding about enlightenment and karma. Many people perceive it as something negative. What is the purpose of it? See, enlightenment and karma, many people don't put that in the same category.
No,
explain
no.
That, please, please, yes.
Well, if we look at our world, the reason there is so much suffering is because of the lack of understanding of karma. It's a universal law that governs everything in creation. And the result of this ignorance is hate, jealousy, greed, selfishness, wars, which is the result of all this ignorance, really. But on the other hand, if you have a more enlightened person who lives in harmony with karma, they understand that every thought and action shapes the future they experience. simply put it, what you give out, you receive back. So karma is not here to punish us. It is here to teach us. And when we align our lives with this law, this universal law, we can actively shape a positive future for us. We are molding our future, our karma, 24/7, even when we are sleeping, because part of the consciousness is still active. So it's good to be aware of this. Karma should be taught in schools to children, because it's so basic. It really is. And people could avoid unnecessary experiences, painful experiences, if they knew about this very, very basic law. And I personally find great comfort in karma, because, for example, if someone wrongs you, it would be unwise to wish them harm, because through the natural workings of karma, they will eventually experience something similar to what they caused to other people. So it's a wonderful teacher. It's not here to punish us. Mm. It's here to teach us, to help us to understand what it feels like to be on the receiving end. And this will allow us to grow in empathy, in love, and also in great understanding and wisdom. Because this law applies equally to good things in our life and also to bad things in our life. So if we show kindness to others, life responds with kindness. If we give love, we receive love. So through the experiences, both positive and challenging, negative, we learn, and through that learning, we can choose what kind of life we really want to create for ourselves.
Yes, and that leads us to enlightenment, doesn't it? To become the master of your thoughts, feelings, works, words, and actions, and to make everyone a more sacred, more righteous thought, feeling, words, and actions, which stops, you know, negative karma from coming back to us. You know, really, that is enlightenment, isn't it? To be the master over your lower self, if you like. Mm.
Yes, absolutely. And enlightenment is there are different stages of enlightenment. And more we follow this path of truth, of righteousness, more understanding we will gain as well. Because enlightenment is opposite of ignorance. Mm. It is a living awareness of the great law that governs life, especially karma. But how do we begin to reach this state is to start with the first three freedoms, bravery, love, and service. Mm. They're really the basic. And there are big steps as well. And if we can incorporate them into our daily life, we will change ourselves. Mm. Because we are told, and I would like to read from this freedom, Mars Sector 6 says, enlightenment is a result of the controlled application of specific energies and procedures towards a predetermined end. And this master breaks it into three categories, which is physical, mental, and psychic. So on our path to enlightenment, we must learn to control all our faculties. This means taking responsibility not only for how we treat our physical body, but also how we think. Mm. Every action begins with a thought, because thoughts are real things. They are very powerful, living energy, and we are responsible for them, whether we realize it or not. So it's crucial for us to learn to control our thought pattern. Mm. So, for example, if we send out a negative, hateful thought towards someone, you know, it can harm them. Mm. Even if the effect isn't immediately visible, because thoughts are made of mind stuff. And that interacts with the person's aura, which is around us, this auric envelope, and which is connected to physical body through the chakra. So on the other hand, when we send positive and healing thoughts out, healing energy, it can uplift and benefit them. So it's very, very important to be also aware of our thought pattern.
Yes, oh, definitely.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Optimal. optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
The station that makes you feel good.
And yes, as you just said, controlling the energies, isn't it? It's a state of being. Enlightenment is a state of being. And as you just said, controlling the energies. And what is psychic frustration? And how can spiritual practices help release it? Because basically, we're all here for spiritual fulfillment. You can't get that on the outside in that world. Nothing will give you that until you know, it's truly spiritual fulfillment, which I believe is what we're all wanting and needing at the end of the day.
That's what we are all yearning for. And I would like to, if I may, take another quote. It says, psychic man. And here when Mars Sector 6 refers to man, he refers to humanity. Psychic man can escape from his prison of psychic frustration by tasks such as the dispensation of psychic energies upon a mental spiritual level, such as the rendering of spiritual healing. Of all tasks capable to psychic man, this is the most beneficial. So here we have it. So many people, whether they realize it or not, experience psychic frustration of one kind or another. But psychic frustration is particularly harmful. It creates blockages in the aura, which can later manifest as a mental or physical illness, because you know, the aura and the physical body are connected through the chakras, through nadis. For example, if we are used to channeling healing energy, love energy, and prayer to others, and suddenly we stopped it, and but don't replace it with anything similar to that of transmission of love energy and spiritual energy, healing energy. You will notice over time a severe tension building up in both your mental and physical body. And this is why it's so important not to stop any spiritual practices, especially those that involve radiating healing, love and light to others. And in the Aetherius Society, we hold regular world healing services that anyone can join in, either in person, in our centers, or online, if you live too far away. So in distant healing, we tap into the unlimited supply of universal life forces, also known as prana or chi, and then send it out in love to others. Because the sun is the main source of prana, of the universal life forces, and it acts as a carrier beam for our love energy. So through controlled thought and visualization, we can send healing energy and prayers to anyone, helping to heal and uplift them. And if anyone would like to join me and other kindred spirits on a pilgrimage, we'll be going up on 23rd of November to a mountain called Branwelly, which is in Bodmin Moor in Cornwall. And because this mountain holds unique spiritual energies that anyone can tap into them, it's very accessible. All we have to do is just go into that place and just tap into the holy vibrations of the mountain. Mm-hmm. And anyone would like to join us, they're very welcome to come along. You'll find details on my website. And we'll be joining in with mantra. Mantra is a wonderful way to attracting into ourselves, drawing into ourselves high frequency of energy. And then send it out in love, in prayers, like using the 12 blessings. So together we'll be sending out waves of love energy, healing energy across the globe and to help to uplift our planet.
Wow, absolutely amazing. Oh, just so beautiful. And when people come together, it enhances that, you know, because of all of their spiritual energy. That's why it makes it so powerful.
Absolutely. Wow. It becomes really, because it's as a group, we build up this beautiful energy and it becomes more powerful than when we are praying alone at home, which we still do it as part of our spiritual routine, spiritual practices. But when we come together, it becomes that much more powerful because it's not just my energy, it's the energy, the buildup of energy of everyone else. And it's very, very potent.
Wonderful. Yes, yes. And in what's the difference between concentration and contemplation in relation to meditation?
Yes, that's a very, very good question. Now, when we read a book, we concentrate on the text and we try to not think about anything else. We can also concentrate on an object for a long period of time or a candle flame. Or when we say a prayer again, we want to totally focus on that prayer when we radiate love energy out through us. So we are directing our thoughts towards that one focal point, exclusion of all else. Prayer is actually one of the best ways or exercises in concentration because it requires our full attention to say or think it properly. And once we have gained control over our thoughts, we can then take the next major step on the path to enlightenment, which is contemplation. So in concentration, we focus on a single object. We could focus on a painting, for example. But in contemplation, we go even deeper than that. We tune into the painting itself. Who painted it? The mood the artist was in when he created it, the material used, and so forth. So when we gain great enlightenment, because there are different levels of it, our intuition becomes a more reliable guide because it comes from a higher self, our true self, and it will always lead us towards what is best for us. It will never let us down. But before full enlightenment dawns, there is a transmutation of mental energies on the plane of inspiration called high intuition. So the next vital step in this journey is meditation, and which will allow us to deepen our awareness and contact fully with these higher states of consciousness.
Beautiful. Meditation. Meditation is know thyself. It's, isn't it? Know thyself. Know thy true self. Experience thy true self. The higher self that is within. Yes. Yes.
Absolutely.
We're all, you know, it's the old cliche, go within, but it's so true because it's where all possibilities and all the answers to all the, you know, questions lie. That's why it's so important to have that still mind.
It is, because
in your mind we can receive the higher knowledge and intelligence from source, from God, from, you know, the universe. It's so important.
Absolutely. And that's where the knowledge is within us, and very great power as well if we can tap into it. Great realization, and from realization comes understanding and enlightenment.
Yes, beautiful. That's where the light is. You know, it's the light within, the spiritual light within. And Mars Sector 6, who Dr. King channeled from the Nine Freedoms, says, Enlightenment, this is so beautiful, is simplicity. Why is simplicity so important spiritually? It's just beautiful.
Yes, I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, we can see that we tend to complicate life, yet life is so simple. Someone who lives simply can be very content, yet while others who appear to have it all, appear to have everything, are still unsatisfied, always wanting more. And I would like to go back to, again, Mars Sector 6, who provides us a valuable guide. And he says, ignorance is the result of the complication devised by terrestrial man. Therefore, enlightenment is simplicity. Use that as the text for your contemplation. And eventually, when meditation is possible, much will be revealed. He also reminds us that enlightenment cannot dawn while the clouds of indiscrimination cover the skies of your mentality. Discriminate. You have been told how to do this. Do it and go into enlightenment. Wonderful words. I mean, seriously, the nine freedoms are full of gems. And we can use them for our contemplation, for our meditations, because discrimination is very important and should be applied in all aspects of life. I recall that during my search for truth, I was, and I'm going to use the word desperate, because I was really desperate for answers. That everything I encountered on my spiritual search, I would examine using logic and also using my intuition. I would ask myself, does this make sense? Does it ring true? And this is where our best guide, our intuition comes in, because listening to our inner voice allows it to grow stronger and clearer and guiding you towards understanding and also enlightenment.
That's so true. It's beautiful. And that's the inner voice of the true self. You know, the true divine self within. And it's so important, you know, because as I say, it's like every morning we have a choice. We can go with the true divine self, or we can go with the egoic, you know, negative thoughts. You know, there's one stream, is there not? And that stream comes through us for us to use for either good or bad in this world. This is the free will that we have, but there's only one stream, you know, that's through us. So it's beautiful. Yes.
And yes, the choice is ours. Yes, yeah, definitely.
And the fifth freedom, this is just amazing. Cosmic consciousness. And it's so funny, because they say in the yogic, you know, when you raise it up to, you have to the highest chakra, that's how you have cosmic consciousness, like Shiva and Shakti coming together to have that, you know, the masculine, feminine, Shiva, everything comes together to have that oneness, which is our individual consciousness merging, becoming one with cosmic consciousness.
Yes, it is. It must be a very beautiful state. I never experienced it myself. I'm far from it.
Oh, me too.
But it is an even greater stage of enlightenment, the highest state of consciousness that is possible to enter. And in this freedom, the fifth freedom tells us, and I would like to take another quote from there. It says, freedom from limitation is only brought about by sincere and diligent directed effort through countless incarnations upon Terra. It is not some vague thing which just happens. It is made to happen. So humanity has placed many limitations upon itself, but we are here in a classroom of Earth to learn to remove them. And if you imagine your soul as a brilliant light, which is veiled by layers of colored fabric, so the pure radiance that shines through our thoughts and actions is tinted by these coverings, by these different colored fabric coverings. And as we remove each layer of limitation, each layer of this fabric, the light becomes brighter and purer until it will radiate with its original, pure, beautiful radiance. And in that moment, we will become closer to absolute than ever before.
Isn't it? It's like, it's what Yogananda said. He describes that in his book as well.
Yeah.
You know, the oneness, the absolute oneness, which is what we feel when we die, to go into oneness, and before birth, you know, it's where our soul resides, to be in the oneness, which, well, is so, you know, miraculously celestial and complete divine love. We couldn't even describe that, could we?
No, it must be a very, very beautiful state of being. And Dr. King experienced it, and it is described in the book, The Nine Freedoms, his personal account of entering cosmic consciousness, how he entered it and what he experienced there.
Wow, yes, and we'll go on to that in a little bit.
Okay.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to that bit.
It's a build-up.
Yeah, it's a build-up, yeah. And moving to cosmic consciousness. So enlightenment is enlightenment of self, isn't it not? Self-realization. Mm-hmm. And then the next stage is cosmic consciousness, which is the oneness with all that is. Can you just expand on that? Yeah.
Yes, so the power of to transform our limitations begins when we learn to guide our thoughts and shape them through our right actions, like spiritual healing, as I mentioned earlier, also through prayer, meditation, service, and so forth. So when Kundalini is raised into the crown chakra, or Brahma chakra, as you mentioned, it's the highest center that we can enter it. A profound realization unfolds, and which is the interrelationship of all things. We become one with whatever we focus on. You become one with all life. You see yourself and everyone else as divine expressions of that one life, expressing through many forms, many colors and experiences. Everyone is going through different stages of experience and learning, and you're no longer also identified with any particular nationality or sex or race, but you declare, as it were, with deep inner conviction that I belong to the one race, the race of life. And that realization, you truly know the oneness of all existence. It must be absolutely fantastic, beautiful experience. I mean, I'm really looking forward to it.
I know. Hopefully we experience it in this life. But even if you have it fleetingly, you know, like, and the masters that, you know, and the yogis, that they've experienced that. And to experience that must be so great. And then to come down, it must change your way of looking at life forever. You know, to experience that oneness, you would never feel the same again. I think nothing could bring you into that state of negativity in that way. You would always be, I don't know, yeah, it's profound.
It's very profound, because that's the whole key. That is the secret. More we go within, more we'll have experiences, beautiful spiritual experiences. We'll have maybe beautiful visions, glimpses into meditation and so forth. And it will fuel us to want more, fuel us to work even harder, to get even deeper within us, to unlock the door to full realization, to meditation, and eventually to cosmic consciousness.
Yes.
So that is it. Mm. Wisdom sets us free. I mean, every time I read the Nine Freedoms or any holy text, which it is, the wisdom in them sets you free, makes you realize certain things in your life, why they're happening. And it's just really help us to wanting more, wanting to go deeper within us. And through that, we'll gain deeper and deeper realizations of all life. Yes. And we'll change. It will change us forever. We'll become totally different people.
And what you said, it become you want more and more because that bliss state, and it's bliss, isn't it? It's undescribable, but I think I've had fleeting maybe seconds of that when I've gone in, and it's so such a blissful state. That's why you want more of that, you know. And then you bring that blissful state through you into every thought, feeling, word, and action that you make, and you give that out into the world, which is what it's about, isn't it?
Yes, and what's interesting is that with meditation is again you get different levels of meditation, and I know someone who did experience beautiful states in meditation, and he was asked by someone, now does it not want to make you want more? And he says, well, it does, but also it wants me serve more. Because I realize how important helping others as well
To
is.
experience
So it's
that,
interesting, is that.
to also experience that, yes, that's amazing, isn't it? So that we can all experience that beautiful state. Ah, oh,
We
lovely.
can, and it is, I mean, reaching cosmic consciousness is it before ascension, which will be then.
Oh.
Next freedom, but this is a exalted, very high state among the highest fruits of meditation, and can only be reached in deepest of these inner journeys we are taking. And very little has ever been written about it, because only those few who have experienced it can talk about it, can describe it. No one else. It's through experience. And even they would admit that words fall short, so it must be experienced and understood. And Dr. King did that. He had this profound account, which I mentioned is published in the Nine Freedoms. And those few who have reached it know beyond any doubt their unity with all life. Yeah.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, aunt and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Unbelievable. Yes, unity with all life. That's what it
Yes.
is. And but of course, you said this as well, reaching cosmic consciousness can take many lifetimes of spiritual growth and service. And you know, only a few people have had that elevated state, as you said. Can you, yeah. So, how did Dr. Kim, what did he say in the Nine Freedoms? Can you please give us a glimpse into the cosmic consciousness as experienced by Dr. Kim?
I would love to. This is really just a glimpse because
Yeah.
it's a much longer description. He goes fully into preparation, how from the very beginning, as he started to raise Kundalini, what he experienced while Kundalini was rising up through the chakras in full. I think this is a key, full, because we might have a rise of Kundalini and have psychic experiences and surface deeper experiences. But when it's fully risen up through the chakras, now as it rises up, the lower chakras become dormant because all the energy is risen up. And as it goes higher and higher, you have different experiences, beautiful experiences. Again, it's described in the book. And as it goes higher and higher, the energy in full, everything, all the chakras then become dormant, the lower chakras, as the energy goes higher and higher into the Brahma chakra. And then Dr. King says, a glorious, brilliant flash of illumination came to him, speaking about himself. The powers before were nothing in comparison with this. Oh God, he was going even further upwards. And then this is the experience. He became one with that upon which his super consciousness dwelt. He became detached from this oneness when he felt he should, in order to learn from the experience of detachment, and attached when he wanted to, in order to learn from the experience of attachment. He became existent in timelessness. He became vitally aware of the dimensions in which he existed and knew them, I, all seven of them. He became a tiny as a molecule when he wanted to, and yet bigger than a world when he wished. He looked down from his lofty position high above the earth, appreciating its great glory, its power, its supreme light, perceiving the limitations it had put upon itself in order to allow life streams like him to gain the very experience which he was now living through, all almost godlike ecstasy. It was then, when this realization dawned, that he stopped short. Here was the very power which he had sought, power beyond the wildest dreams, beyond the most imaginative conception of mere man, power to know what secrets he wished, power greater than that needed to move any mountain anywhere at any time. But yet he stopped short, as though strangely disappointed with himself. Beneath him, beneath the crust of earth living the ancient globe, dwelt a greater being than he or all men, a being which had imposed upon itself crushing limitations so that the mass of man could crawl through existence upon its back, in order to gain experience, knowledge, and eventually even wisdom. It was as though he had learned the great lesson brought about by striving for this, what was to him then an ultimate state of being. The lesson of detachment from even the greatest states he learned, and gradually he came back.
Wow.
So this is really just, isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. He was so great, so powerful, all powerful. And then when he looked down on the earth, this living goddess, which she is, he realized that he had to come back rather than enjoying this ecstatic state. He stopped short, as he describes it in the book, and came back to continue in service. And this is, that must be so difficult, that detachment.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Yes. So that we can all experience these wonderful, wow, cosmic consciousness, amazing. the best one is leading on for that, of course, the sixth freedom, ascension. Now, there's so many people, you know, they don't know what ascension means. And there's so much on the internet. Oh, I've ascended. Yeah. You know, it's like only the masters who can get to that level can you say that you have ascended. Ascension is the final portal on earth. What does this mean? And how does it relate to the end of the reincarnation cycle, which is samsara, isn't it? The rebirth, the death rebirth that goes on and on and on. It's really a soul trap, isn't it, in that way? And we become released from that.
when we are breaking away from the wheel of rebirth. So essentially is the final portal, and we must walk through this portal on this planet, and it is the culmination of every single experience we have undergone on Earth in our former lives, which is many, many countless lives. And before reaching ascension, we must be able to enter cosmic consciousness at will. And that this is regardless of the conditions around us, even if our surroundings are not conducive to entering cosmic consciousness, this very elevated state, to demonstrate that we are ready for ascension, we must be able to do it. So this is a big one, you know. So cosmic consciousness, before ascending, you might have to enter cosmic consciousness a number of times, depending on your karmic pattern. Mm. So once you have done that, once you have freedom from rebirth, and you can only then achieve those who have gained wisdom through countless experiences and lessons they have to offer. So our planet serves, as I mentioned earlier, as a classroom. Mm. No one can leave it permanently until we have learned all the lessons, every single experience we learned from, and that will qualify us to ascend to a higher plane of existence. And whether you stay on this planet or move on to another planet, for further experiences, for further learning, it's just a higher classroom. And the reason why we have to do this is because the conditions on those planets are so high, so elevated, we would be out of place. We would feel out of place. We would not learn what we need to learn. That's why we have to graduate, as it were, from Earth first before we can move on, before we are ready. So reincarnation is an essential aspect of truth, divine truth, that all major religions sooner or later will have to embrace, will have to teach.
Yes.
But here is the key. It's not enough to live through experiences. We must learn from them. I think this is the key. We must learn and understand. And only then we can step beyond the cycle of rebirth and then embrace.
And where can we, please give us where we can go to read the Nine Freedoms and practice it, and of the Aetherius Society?
Yes. So there is you'll find a link from my website. Or you could also, my website is naomibates.com, or you could get it from the Aetherius Society website, which is aetherius.org. So you'll find a lot about the Aetherius Society there, what it does, what it stands for, how you can participate with many activities, either in-house or online, whatever you can do. But we've got services going on, outpouring of healing light is going on every single day from different parts of the world as well. So
wonderful.
It's everyone can do something, and we can all do our part to, which is so key, to flood our world with light and love. After all, we are light workers.
Yes.
That's what we are.
That's what we've been talking about. That's what isn't it? You know, we are the light workers and the way showers. So
yes.
That's beautiful.
Yes,
and Naomi, please tell us, what are the last three freedoms that we can expect on episode 3?
Now, the final episode, yes, this is the pinnacle, is interplanetary existence. So those who live on other planets, great beings who live on other planets on different, a higher frequency of vibration. So interplanetary existence, Saturnian existence, Saturn being the most advanced planet in the solar system. So the masters living there are extremely highly elevated and advanced. And believe it or not, there is also life on the sun, so solar existence. So this is the final step in this solar system, because life continues even beyond this solar system. But the Nine Freedoms takes us up to solar existence.
Yes.
Which is, I think, it's plenty for us to
note. Maybe in a different dimension that we can't see, we can't experience, because we're in a denser, reality. Yeah.
Definitely, definitely.
Well, I say no, Amy, thank you so much once again for this wonderful episode and for teaching us so much about the cosmic consciousness and ascension, and for all of your divine wisdom. So thank you for being on the Great Awakening Show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me, and thank you for the wonderful work you are doing as well through, you know, sending out love, light, and great wisdom to your listeners. Thank you very much.
Thank you.